one verse today. Your notes will be, and I know we're pretty far along. Children's church, there, I believe there's, you got one kid back there. You go teach the thunder out of her, right? First John chapter 5, verse 13. You know what one of the biggest fears are? The assurance of salvation in many Christians. That they don't know whether or not they're going to heaven. Listen, you and I can have a certainty without a shadow of a doubt that when Christ returns that we're going to go to heaven, right? This whole book of 1 John is about that, right? Because the question gets asked all the time, how do I know if I'm saved? How do I know if I'm saved, right? Let me put it this way. When I ask people if they're saved or not, right, they sometimes answer, well, I think so, or I hope so. Have you ever gotten that answer, or have you ever given that answer? Well, I hope so, right? I think so. I think I am. Let me ask you this. What if you came up to me and asked, Pastor, are you married? What if I said, well, I suppose so. I think so, right? Now, you may go like, well, wait a minute. Either you are or you aren't, right? Do you have a wife or don't you have a wife, right? And I may respond, well, I'm not quite sure, but I certainly hope I have a wife. Amy at that point would probably rise up and show me the paperwork. Yeah. She'd give me a slap across the side of the face and, what are you talking about? You think so. I do all the cooking, so most of it. Me or Josh. How do I know? Because I stood July 7th, 1979, in front of a preacher. Ken Carlson was his name. He was just a young guy. He was all excited, right, about marrying us. And I think, huh? It was his first wedding. There you go. And I can remember being nervous, right? You know, I was probably more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. That's a good one for you, Danny. Remember that one. I can remember him going through the motion of the beginning and all that, and we're standing there, and he said stuff like, do you promise to love and cherish in sickness and in health and all of that? And I can remember saying, I do, right? And then he said, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife and all of that stuff? And I said, I do. And I know he said a few other things that were nice, and I knew they were pretty flowers, and I know we sing a song, and we had some close friends of Amy's do a music. We lit candles, right? I was like, oh, come on, Daryl, you can remember. But for the most part, I think I was oblivious to it all because, you know, there I was. I was standing with the woman God had chosen for me, and I was happy. And I remember that eventually he said, I now pronounce you husband and wife, right? And you may kiss the bride. And that clicked in really quick. And I gave her a big old kiss, and we were happy, and we were out the door, right? Well, we were going downstairs for the reception. How do I know I'm married? Because I have a piece of paper? Yeah, because I have a piece of paper, but because we stand here 40 years together because it was a powerful event in my life. It was a powerful event in my life. It changed my life forever, right? I have two amazing men. See, I didn't call them boys today. I called them men. I keep reminding me that they're men. My life was changed. Some of you can say the same thing, not with marriage, but maybe with other things in your life. Something changed your life forever. But salvation is an event that changed your life forever.
Literally forever.
Forever, right? It changed you because it made you new. You became a new creation, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. You see, the question is, how do I know if I'm saved? Is one of the main things that John is talking about in this book. In verse 13, he writes this: I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Right? Hopefully you have your Bible out, because we're going to be cruising through it a lot, okay? Get it out on your phone. Get it out. Because the New Testament is full of scriptures that remind us of our salvation, remind us of the most important thing that took place in your life. You see, if I break down verse 13, I can see a few words. He tells you he's writing these things to you, right? Who believe, right? You're sitting here this morning because you believe, right, in Jesus Christ, in the name of the Son of God. You believe that he is the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. If you believe in the Son of God, that he is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross for you, and he rose again, you can know that you have eternal life. John wrote this to us so that we can have a biblical standard for the assurance of our salvation. And this is important for our spiritual growth, that we have this assurance. This letter and this verse, I picked nine things that help us understand what a saving relationship with Jesus Christ is all about. And in your notes, you don't even have to write anything this morning. It's kind of like a guideline for you just to follow. But if you want to take notes, you can write other things down. You must believe in the name of the Son of God. You must believe. John tells us that there is no eternal life, or there is no assurance of salvation, without an earnest faith in Jesus Christ. That we must confess him as God's Son, sent to be our Savior, who died on the cross, who rose again, whose blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. Right? You see, in that I just stated, there are many who will delete some of that, right? To make it easier to get into heaven. But John is telling us here that this is the way for eternal life, that we confess him as God's Son, sent to be our Savior, who died on the cross, who shed his blood, who rose again, who now sits on the right hand of God the Father. 1 John 4:15 says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. 1 John 5:1, okay, and then we're going to look at verse 5. So we are now in 1 John 5. 1 John 5:1 says this: everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Verse 5, Who is it that overcomes the world? Only those to whom believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, there is only one way to salvation through Jesus Christ, right? There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to eternal life. And that is through Jesus Christ. And that is the standard. We must have faith in Jesus. We must believe in Jesus. You see, that day that I received Jesus Christ, as I knelt next to the bed and two amazing friends led me to Jesus, was the most important day of my life. Right? July 28th, 1978. You know, I remember that date. Some of you may not remember your date, because that was a powerful event in my life. That's why I can remember that date. Just like that. I know lots of dates. July 7th, 1979, because that's when we got married. Another powerful date, right? February 10th, 1983. It's my son's. My other son's. February 7th, 1990, right? I can barely remember my PIN number to my bank, but I can remember those numbers. I can't remember my own bank account number, but I know those numbers, right? Some of your phone numbers I can remember because you have been powerful examples of Jesus Christ in my life. And some of you just change your phone numbers every day, so it's hard to remember those. With the invention of the cell phone, people change numbers all the time. It's like, okay, you got a new number again? That's okay. It is what it is, right? It's something we have to understand and live with. Many have decided that they're going to lower the standard to get into heaven. But there's only one standard. John is telling us that it's faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we have an assurance of eternal life if we are honoring Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives by trying to obey his commands. Now go to 1 John chapter 2. Look at verses 3 through 5. John says this. Are you there? Yep. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must what? Walk as Jesus did. Okay, go to chapter 3, verse 24. John says this, those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us, the Holy Spirit that resides in us. And then 5:2 again, right? Go back to 5:2. John says, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. So we see the theme, right? We are obeying his commands. Then go to John chapter 15. And go to verses 9 through 14. Verse 1 through 8 talks about the vine and the branches, right? And how we need to be in the concept of that if we have Christ in us and we have a belief system, that we are a part of the branch that thrives, right? That we bear fruit. In verse 9, Jesus goes on to say this. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. We're in a time where we need to lay down our lives for those who are panicking, right? You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. We can have an assurance of eternal life as we honor Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. Thirdly, we have assurance of eternal life if we love the Father and the Son rather than the world and the influence of the world. John tells us this, do not love the world, right? He says it, he quotes Jesus in the book of John. He says it again in 1 John. In 2 John chapter 2, verse 15, he says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever, right? You know what John is talking about? He's talking about relationships. Your relationship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and your relationship with the world, right? We have a relationship with the world, okay? But the Bible tells us not to be of the world. We will always have a relationship with the world because we have to work in the world. We earn an income from the world, right? And so we are a part of it. We have neighbors, we have friends, we have family, we have all these things. And so we are a part of it. But what John and in Christ Jesus our Lord is teaching us is that we can't have a relationship with it so much that it overcomes our relationship with Jesus Christ himself. That we have the relationship with Jesus first so that we can overcome the things in the world that are negative or derogatory to our faith. First John chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. John says this, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Ah, promises, 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 right? Come on. You see it? You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Right? Who do you have residing inside of you besides Jesus? You have the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit can give you discernment to understand what is true and what is not. We can have assurance of eternal life if we love the Father and the Son more than the world. Fourthly, we have assurance of eternal life if we habitually and persistently practice righteousness rather than sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. That verb right there, to sin, in the Greek, that word is hamartiano. I hope I said that right. It is a present active infinitive. Here's your English lesson for today, okay? And you know what that implies? It implies continuing action. A continued action. So what does this mean? Well, John emphasizes to us that as born-again believers, we cannot make sin a way of life. That it is something that we have overcome. We cannot follow the practices of sin of this world. That we have been saved and delivered to overcome these things. That we can live victoriously, that we can live as overcomers, that the promises of God that are there. Like the one Bob read this morning about God taking care of Israel, right? God loves us. God loves this church here in this world. He loves you and he loves me and he cares for us. We can overcome. We can live victorious. We can love joyfully. We can. It's all about us, right? Who do we trust? Who do we trust? Who do we trust? Who do we have faith in? Right? When Teen Challenge was here, I had this just immense check in my spirit, right, to do this, because sometimes we forget and we ask questions. Well, how am I really saved? Or something will happen and Satan comes in and he says, well, God doesn't love you that much, right? It happens to all of us, where we question whether God is with us and whether or not that we will go to heaven. Maybe we've done something horrible and we're like, how can God take me to heaven? You see? Here it is, 1 John 1:9. Come on. Remember? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? But you know what that entails? That entails us being in relationship. If we continue to sin and we say it's all right to continue to sin, right? Here's what John is talking to a group of people, the readers he sent this out to, right? There are a group of them who said, once I'm saved, I can continue to sin and do whatever I want, because what Jesus did on the cross is led me to the place where I can do whatever I want now. It's a one and done act. It's over with. Now I can live my life how I choose. John is combating that. He's telling them, listen, you cannot live a continued life of sin. You weren't built that way. You weren't designed that way. You weren't created that way when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, you wouldn't think you'd want to, right? But many do, right? They come to that place where they're like, well, it doesn't matter anymore. Well, it does matter. Because listen, the new birth produces spiritual life that results in our relationship with God, right? It's brought us to this place where we are new. And some of you have been walking with Jesus a long time. And, you know, over the years, sometimes we lose that freshness a little bit, or we forget a few things. These are things we can never forget. These are powerful impacts in our life. These are life-changing events. John uses the Greek perfect tense to emphasize continued and sustained relationship. That relationship keeps us from sustained sin, because God's seed in us and his very nature should overtake us, right? 2 Peter 1:4 says this, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, being escaped from the corruption of the world caused by our evil desires. See? And then finally, by faith, Christ's indwelling help helps us overcome sin. See, there's a lot here, but here's my challenge, right? And we're just going to head to number 5 next, but these are things to remind us. You see, when I focus on a book, sometimes we read devotionals and we just go all over different places, right? When I am studying this, and Doug did a precepts class many years ago, right, on how to study the Bible. Studying the Bible, when we come to that place, you know, we can't overlook all of it. It's easy just to take a few scriptures and go like, oh, that makes me feel happy today. But you miss the 10 before and the 10 after that Jesus was trying to teach in that one or two verses. And that we have to come to the place where we go like, okay, what does Jesus mean by this? What is being meant by this? What is God doing here? That's why I say over and over again, while we were in Seattle, we were sitting there waiting for doctors. Sometimes we'd have an hour in between and stuff, and I was sitting there. I couldn't have the voice on, but they put, you know, the words, what was saying. I was listening to a guy speak, and I got a chuckle out of it because, you know, here's one of the national speakers, and he's going, know your theology, know your theology, know your theology. And I thought for a moment, I went, hey, did you steal that from me? You know, no, I'm just kidding. We must know our theology. We must know what we believe. Because if we don't know what we believe, then we can be led astray, right? We can be told that it's okay to lay on graves and suck the anointing out of the dead, and to believe that God is a blue genie, right? That all we have to do is rub the Bible and great things happen. And I'm not curious. Listen, these are things that are being taught today in our country. So altogether, God take away the coronavirus, right? No. Come on. That's why we have to know. We have to know what we believe. We must have that theology within us. Number five, we have assurance of eternal life if we love our brothers and sisters. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Go to chapter 3. Look at verse 14 through 18. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death, and anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for other brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And this then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest, right? Crucial. At rest in him, in his presence, right? Listen, can I bring this down, that scripture down to reality? If your neighbor runs out of toilet paper and you have an abundance, are you going to give it to him? Yes. Give him some? Right? That's a great analogy for today, right? Yeah. If you have some extra cans of vegetables and they need some food or whatever, are you going to help them? Yes. Right? Because if you're not, then you're just as great, as big a hoarder as all the rest of them. And helping one another starts first in the body of Christ and then it goes out.
I asked a friend, I go, you got food stocked up? He said, I'm coming to your house.
Okay, food, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, you have to have enough for you. But, They were the boys were at the ammo place, and the store down here in West Richland was literally filled to the brim with people buying guns and ammo. I was like, oh my goodness. There's no more toilet paper at Costco or water or hand sanitizer or laundry detergent or... You know what? Make sure that one of the assurances of eternal life that John is talking about in the book of John and in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John is that we have love for each other. Number six. We have an assurance of eternal life if we are conscious of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. 1 John 4:13 says this. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, right? He gives us discernment. We have his Spirit. Number seven. We have assurance of eternal life if we strive to follow Jesus' example as he lived it. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did, right? Jesus said in the book of John, I am the light of the world. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We have the light of life in us, right? Number eight, we have an assurance of eternal life if we believe, accept, and remain in the word of life. Who's the word of life? Jesus. Somebody have 1 John 1:1 memorized? In the beginning? No. John, book of John. John 1:1. In the beginning, right? Was with God. The word was God. 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, and this we proclaim, turning the word of life, right? We must believe on the word of life. We must believe in Jesus. And then, nine, we have an assurance of eternal life if we have an earnest longing and unbending hope for Christ's return to receive. Do you believe that Jesus is coming back? Yes. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John chapter 14, he says, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for you, and he's coming back for me. And he's coming back for those who have said, I make Jesus Lord of my life. You see, in this scripture, we can see assurance, we can see the earnest for longing, and we can see the unbending hope that we must have for the return of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for letting us meet together again today. In the midst of all the pain and all the panic and everything, here we are sitting in your peace. I pray that, Father, nobody will ever be challenged with asking the question, how can I know that I'm saved? That, Father God, we know without a shadow of a doubt, if we believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we will have eternal life with you forever and that we are saved. Help us to follow, Father, your word and the word of life himself. And help us to love one another as you have commanded us to love not only you and your Son and your Spirit, but our brothers and sisters as well. We love you, Father. We give you all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.